Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. In your Pew Bible, 963 are up on the screen. It's entitled The Calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word this morning.
Thank you, Liz. You know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we had a packed house. Now it's next week, and the house isn't packed. What's that say to us? I think it says to me, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. I don't ever want the Church of Jesus Christ to get lazy and think that, for instance, this building is here for those of us who are here now. And so we can come and enjoy each other's company, enjoy the fruits and the benefits of being a part of this family, as we already shared this morning a little bit. There's more to the church than just us taking care of ourselves. And yet sometimes the church gets into that kind of a rut. And I just wanted to take a look at this from the perspective of there was Easter Sunday. Now what? Now what? Oh, there are books all over the place about evangelism and reaching the lost. And some of these books, I think, are really good. And others, I think, are a little bit wrongheaded. Many of the books say, well, you got to have certain kinds of programs in order to draw people in. But, you know, I think we live in a world today where we need to go out and get them. I don't care what you have here. You're not going to bring a whole lot of them in unless you go out and engage where they're at. And there's no more perfect example of this than our Lord and Savior himself. As you look at his life and what he did. You know, I want us to take a look at that. You know, because when we look at, for instance, Easter Sunday, many came, but many more didn't. Some will never come unless we go get them. Some have come and perhaps stopped coming because we failed them. I really want us to take a look at how we can do things better. I want to challenge you a little bit this morning. Let's start out by looking at Jesus. Where was he? Where did he spend a lot of time? You know, in the early chapters of the Gospels, you'll see mentioned alongside Jesus four or five times, perhaps, that he went into the synagogues and he would teach in the synagogues. Later on in the Gospels, you see that Jesus spent a lot more time not in the synagogues, outside of the synagogues, out in the countryside, out in people's homes, places where synagogue rulers typically wouldn't go. He went everywhere to go wherever the people were. That's where Jesus went. That's where he was. Matthew 8, in this same book that we're reading this morning, the Gospel of Matthew, just a chapter before, it says that in verse 1, he was with some lepers. He was touching them. You don't touch lepers in that day. You never touched the leper. Why? If you touched the leper, then you were unclean. You were unclean. If you were a Jew, you were unclean. And Jesus was actually touching lepers. He was with those people that no one else would go and be with. That's who Jesus was with. Verse 5 of that same chapter, he spent some time with Gentiles. Now, I have to realize, as a Jew, you know, you had to be careful hanging around Gentiles too, because if you were around Gentiles, then you also became unclean. It's amazing how many things could make you unclean. As a Jew in that day, the Pharisees would not be caught doing that. Go back a few chapters before that, the same gospel. It says in 4:23 and following that he was with the sick. And when he was with the sick, what was he doing with the sick? He was healing the sick. Whatever it was that was ailing them, Jesus was touching them and healing them and letting them know that he cared about their every need. Going back to chapter 8 again in verse 12, he was with the demon-possessed and casting out demons. And then when he wanted a few folks to kind of come and follow him, he was picking up some people that probably weren't the best of the best. Stinky fishermen and tax collectors. You all are very fond of tax collectors this time of year. IRS just took all your money. Well, in those days, that's exactly what the tax collectors did too. And some of them would have been even Jewish tax collectors. And they'd go around and they would collect money from people and oftentimes collect more than they were supposed to. That's how they became kind of wealthy. Jesus chose even a tax collector in this text here, Matthew, a tax collector, to be a follower of him. You see, Jesus went out and engaged wherever people were. He didn't really care what your title was, your status was, what your problem was, what your sin was. He wanted to engage them where they were at. Now, many of these folks that he was engaging with, they never would have showed up in a synagogue, would they? Lepers wouldn't. They'd be chased right out. A Gentile wouldn't be in a synagogue because only the Jews were allowed in the synagogues, right? He's way out in the outer courts, but you wouldn't be in a synagogue as a Gentile. And certainly if you were sick, they wouldn't want you there. The demon-possessed, absolutely not. Jesus went where they were. And what did he do when he was there with them? He healed. He taught. He forgave. And he encouraged them to embrace something new. Something that was different than what they'd ever heard before. He was encouraging them to embrace something new. He became a friend who cared about their soul as well as their physical needs. And if you note, so many times, he met the physical need and then he addressed the soul as he met with them. Now let's look at us. I would hazard to say in this church that we do a pretty good job with those who come. I think most people say that we are a welcoming church. I'm sure there are people who slip through the cracks from time to time, but I would think for the most part, I think any church thinks they are. But we've had several people that have told us you're a welcoming church. I hope that's something that continues and always will be. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter anything, that you would be welcome to set foot in this church and we would love you no matter what. We seem to do fairly well with that, I think. Many of you, I think, would agree with me on that. But certainly we have a ways to go. I have a question, though. Do we continue with the investment with those who come? Continue with a connection with those who come? Maybe. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. We seem to find some opportunities to provide help for those who ask. I think this church is a very giving church. We have the food pantry, we have other means of helping people financially when they have needs. And we would certainly like to lift up anyone that has spiritual needs in prayer. I think we do all of that. But there are those who just don't come. There's a lot of them that just don't come. And yet, they have needs. Some of them may even be interested in what the church has to offer, but they just don't come. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, to some degree. I've had a lot of conversations with people over the years, and one of those is, it is a huge step when you've not been in church to step foot inside those doors. Huge step. Terrifying step for some people. And the only way to engage with those people to get them through the doors is to engage with them out there. Not wait till they get in here. The church fails in its mission if its mission starts with when they come in the door. It should have been starting well before that outside the door. Like Jesus did. He went out where the hurting were. He went out where the sick were. He went out where there were those who needed healing from whatever it was. And he met them where they were. And he's calling us to do the same thing ourselves. And yet, we sometimes become lazy as a church. I'm not just talking this church. I'm talking the church. We get ingrown. And we think we're here for us. Whatever we can do for us, it's good. Because God tells us that we need to look out for each other. But we fail to realize another part of that is reaching out to the lost and the lonely. There's a ton of them out there. And there are some that even are out on the edge. And there might be some of those, for instance, that may show up on an Easter Sunday morning and they're not here the next week. And the question we ask is why? I don't know why. I guess I haven't asked each and every one of them, but engage with people. Engage with them out there where they're at, because you see, Jesus wasn't intimidating when he went out to their place to engage with them out there. It's intimidating to engage people when they're here sometimes. Think about it. It's comfortable for you and me. I grew up in the church. I mean, it's easy for me, but I'm not in that situation. It'd be harder for me to go into a situation where not a church, but some other kind of an event where I didn't know anything that was going on. And I go there and I'm expected to act and behave. In fact, I'll give you an example. When I was a teenager, I went with some other kids from FFA. Anyone know what FFA is? Future Farmers of America. And I will let you know that I was a farmer. That was my first career, was a farmer. Went as a farmer to Kansas City, Missouri, with some other young kids in our FFA group. And our leader, our ag leader, teacher in school, wanted us to go to church on Sunday. I thought, that's cool. You know, as a school back then, it was okay to do that sort of thing. So we go to church on Sunday, but we happened to go to a church I wasn't familiar with. It was a Catholic church. Not just a Catholic church, but a Catholic church that did it all in Latin. He didn't know that either when we went in. But we went in and we go to church at this Latin church. I am totally out of my realm. I mean, you think we do spiritual aerobics. Up, down, up. Down, up, down, up, down. By the time you're done, you've lost a pound and you're buff, you know. And it was in a language I didn't understand. So I'm like standing up and it's like, they're saying this stuff and sitting down. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt awkward. So I can just imagine. And this is someone who was used to going to church. It just was different than what I was used to. People coming into a church like this, it can be extremely difficult to do. So what I suggest to us when we are trying to engage with the world out there, do it like Jesus did. Meet them where they're at. Get to know them a bit. And engage them. And eventually you might have the opportunity to invite them not to come sometime to church, but come on this particular Sunday to church with me and sit with me. I want you to sit with me. Because I want you to experience what I've experienced in church. A bunch of imperfect people that are here. We all have our flaws, but there's something special about being part of a body that seems to care about the same thing. And when I'm in trouble, I know I have support. I have people who will pray. I have people who care and love. We do it in an imperfect way, but God does it in a perfect kind of way. You see, we need to help these people come in contact with the living God. And if we expect that to happen here, they won't even come in. We've got to get out there and help them to experience the living God even before they enter the doors of the church. Whether it's healing or forgiveness or a purpose, we all have a hole to fill, and we can help others who have that hole that needs filled and help them to understand there's someone who can fill that hole. We've got to go out there and engage them. Just like Jesus was doing in the text this morning. He didn't just ask Matthew to follow him, others as well, but he went to his house, and not just his house with Matthew, but with many tax collectors and sinners. He went there and engaged them there. Of course, there are some of the religious people hanging around as well. They didn't like what he was doing because he wasn't hanging with them. You see, you're supposed to hang with the same people that you identify with. So that means you and I are always hanging with each other. And you know, we like to do that, don't we? I like to hang with you outside of the church. But I've got to be hanging with some other people too from time to time. I need to be that salt and that light to people who don't know Jesus Christ. I need to hang with people who aren't quite like me in that sense and maybe don't share the same priorities that I might have, because that's what Jesus did. He hung out with them. And even though the Pharisees are saying, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't he know he's going to be unclean if he does that? Come on, he's a Jew. And on hearing this, what did Jesus say? It isn't the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire your mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. We are that contact between God and others. He wants us to be that presence. I can't remember the tune of the song that we used to sing when I was a kid, but it has as a phrase in that song, you may be the only Jesus some may ever see. And I don't remember the song, but I remember the phrase. And that becomes so telling, doesn't it? That you and I might be the only Jesus some may ever see. But they're going to see it out there before they come in here. In the world we live in today, that's the reality, folks. The church isn't seen as relevant to many people. It has immense relevance to me. And I want others to know why it's so relevant to me. So many times I talk to people and say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I said, no, you don't. Not at all. No church ever saved anybody. If that's a shock to you, it is true. The church doesn't save you. Christ saves you. And he can do that outside of the church. But I do say, when those people say that, I don't let it stop there. I say, but there's something about the church that adds to that relationship. There's something about the church that gives us the accountability and the support that we need to walk the journey. Because we're all in it together. Every single one of us. There's work to be done. And we need to do it. So what do we do about it? I'll give you three words and I'll end with this. They both have two letters. Go. Be. And do. Go out there. Be who God's called you to be. And do his work. And people will come. When they see what God's beginning to do in your life, people will come and see the benefit that comes from being a part of the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. That's our now what. Let's pray. God, thank you. I know over my whole life, all 58 years of it, I've benefited from being a part of a family in the church. Even before I came to know you myself, I've always been a part of that. And I can, from time to time, just take it for granted. But God, help me to see, and help all of us to see, the tremendous value that comes with being a part of a fellowship of imperfect people with our own struggles, but that has the support of others to help walk the journey that you've called us to walk, to live the way you've called us to live, and to enjoy the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the unmerited love that you've shed our way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So help us to go, as you tell us in the Gospel of Matthew, to go out and make disciples. That's what Jesus did. Help us to be imitators of Jesus. For it's in his name we do pray. Amen.